from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, so there's this stat that's going around. We'll get to Paul in just a moment, but I needed to get to this because I teased it for it. I want to let you know. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have played together for the Boston Celtics over the last 7 years. They played 107 playoff games together before winning their first NBA title. They finally did it. When I saw that stat last night, okay, and that's longer than anybody. When I saw that stat last night, it totally reminded me of no head coach and quarterback has ever had gone more than 5 years and won a title, Super Bowl title. And this is, of course, a McDermott-Allen stat, right? We talk about that. It's been a debate. Jeremy actually tweeted out a few weeks ago, does that stat matter at all to you? It doesn't to me. It's not predictive. This is a great example. I'm sure someone somewhere had said, no duo has ever played 100 NBA games together, playoff games, and ever won a title. You gotta break it up at some point. But guess what? That's not true. It's not a predictive stat. It's just a historical stat. That's all it is. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, 107 playoff games together before winning a title. The first, that's the most it's ever been before anybody's ever won a title. So, you could definitely go into this playoff night and say, no one's ever played more than 90 games or whatever the second place was. No one's ever played more than 100 games and won a title. It just can't happen. It's the same thing saying no coach and quarterback have ever been together for more than 5 years and ever won their first title together. All it is a stat. It is not predictive in any sort of way. Paul Hamilton is going to join us in just a moment, but I do want to squeeze in David, who wants to get in on the Connor McDavid possible Conn Smythe winning discussion. I'll get with Paul as well when you give your take on this, David. Go ahead. You're on WGR, Dave.
Hey, Sal. How's it going, man?
Good. Thanks.
Yeah, good. Yeah, just a question for you. Just wondering, who on Florida do you think deserves it more?
I don't know.
I understand your point on the five games, but, I mean, breaking Gretzky's...
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't know. I just have an internal issue. Yeah, I have an internal issue with McDavid winning it after losing the Stanley Cup in five to a team that was just so much better than everybody throughout the playoffs, it seemed like. Where I think Edmonton had to kind of struggle their way through a bit. And I would say, and if you heard me before, I don't know, maybe this is a, maybe David, this is the first time ever you could make a real good argument for dividing it up between a couple players. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you should be a Sabre, so.
I love it, buddy. I love it. Thank you. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, what do you think? If the Panthers win tonight, is there justification for still giving Connor McDavid the Conn Smythe?
Actually, I've been listening a little bit here, and to me, in my opinion, it's not even a discussion. Okay. You hit it a few minutes ago. There have been too many games where he's been shut down. You know, it got to be 3-0. He's not even a factor at all. So I don't even think it is, maybe in other people's minds who are voting, it's a discussion, but to me, it's not even a thought that he would be kind of, actually, if I'm being quite honest with you, I don't even think any of it is a thought. I think hands down, nobody's even close. Barkov is the winner. I don't think he wins it.
Wow.
I think they'll go with the goalie because normally they vote for the goalie, and he certainly has played very, very well. In other years, I would probably also be saying Bobrovsky should win it. But this Barkov has just been so special in shutting down the absolute best players in the game all playoffs long. And in the same time, being good offensively, to me, it's just far and away not even close in my mind. But again, if you ask me who I think will win it, I think Bobrovsky will win it. But I, in my mind, Barkov should be a landslide winner.
Yeah, it's generally a stats award, right? It's either stats for the goalie or stats for the skater. Barkov would not be the stats award winner. Barkov has probably been the best player from start to finish throughout the Stanley Cup Finals. Even though McDavid broke Gretzky's record for assists, I get it. Even though he's tops in points, he hasn't truly been the best player from the start of the playoffs to the finish.
Yeah, and I'm guessing here, Sal, because I'm talking with you, not looking it up.
Yep, I think we lost Paul. Let's get him back here for 1 second. Paul, I think we lost you, so might have to reconnect there. I'll ask Paul about that again. It's a really fun debate. It's a good debate. Generally, the Conn Smythe winner is, if it's a goalie, it's because the stats they put up in the playoffs, they win a lot of games. I do think that, you know, Bobrovsky gets dinged for the game four and getting chased and all the goals that the Oilers scored, but I don't think it has to be, it doesn't have to be, you know, fatal for him to not win it. He can still win it. Paul is right. Sacha Barkov has been the best hockey player through the playoffs. He has not had the most points. He has been this is my Bill Belichick argument, right? This is exactly the Bill Belichick argument I make all the time, where I always say, the most accomplished doesn't mean the best. Yes, at any given point, on any given day, time, whatever, game, Connor McDavid's the best hockey player in the world, right? I mean, the things he can do are amazing. There's no doubt. But Sacha Barkov's been a better hockey player than Connor McDavid from the start of these playoffs till the end. My Bill Belichick point that I always say is Bill Belichick is the most accomplished coach in NFL history. There's no doubt. I don't think he's the best coach in NFL history. There are coaches I would take that had basically, you know, lesser rosters that have done more. Paul's back. We're going to join him here the old traditional way. Bobrovsky, I don't know if he gets dinged for game four. That's the only thing. And I don't know what the voters will do with that. It might be a little unfair because that's one game, because he has had a really nice playoff.
I think he had a 6-goal game against Tampa, too. I'm thinking back. That seems to ring a bell to me. But overall, I mean, he has just been phenomenal in goal. And, you know, never was a good playoff goaltender until last year in the middle of the first series against Boston. He wasn't even in net. Lyon was the one that got them in the playoffs and when they got hot. And he's in net, and now it's 3-1 Bruins. And Bobrovsky, who has never had any playoff success, had a lot of regular season success, but never a lot of playoff success. He winds up in goal and never looked back. I mean, he's just been great ever since then. And
you know, it's not like he's not deserving. If he wins it, I couldn't sit here and say, well, he's not deserving of being the Conn Smythe. As I said, any other year, he's probably it in my mind. But this happens to be a year where his teammate Barkov, I just think, is so much better. But if they were to pick Bobrovsky, I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve to be it, because he certainly, throughout the playoffs, has been one of the reasons, along with Barkov and few others, that they play well as a team. He's been one of the reasons why they're where they're at.
Do they get it closed out tonight, or do we talk about maybe this series getting a little interesting and going, maybe a lot interesting, and going back to Edmonton for game six?
Well, the Celtics did it. I mean, they were awful in Dallas.
Yep.
And got blown out, just like Florida got blown out in Edmonton when they were looking to get the sweep. And then the Celtics were great last night. They were back to being the Celtics. Dallas couldn't handle them. And I could definitely see more of the same. I don't see Florida getting all upset over one loss. I don't see them panicking. They're the type of team that they understand if they play their game the way they're supposed to play it, they're a darn good team, and they're very difficult to beat. So, and I'll go back to that Tampa game where they gave up six goals. They were fine. I mean, yeah, all right, that happened. We'll be fine. And I fully believe, especially with the extra day, and this time of year they don't really practice all that much, so maybe I'll say with the extra day to prepare, just to know, all right, this is what we did long. Bobrovsky wasn't himself. None of them were themselves, actually. Plus, maybe that travel thing caught up to him in game four, too. I mean, they were running on adrenaline because, remember, they had those storms in Fort Lauderdale where they're boating down the main street in Fort Lauderdale, and they got stuck there. They didn't get to Edmonton until less than 24 hours before the game. It's also the furthest point in Stanley Cup history between two teams. So they might have been running on adrenaline in game three, and by game four, it might have taken a little bit out of them. That should be fine now. You know, they've had the extra day. You know, that should be out of the equation.
Do you like the the NHL hasn't really done this. The NBA has. They've switched it. The NBA used to have a 2-3-2 format. They've gone back to a 2-2-1-1-1. But I think about it in this case because it's the farthest you could travel between two hockey cities in the Stanley Cup, or at least you've ever had travel between two hockey cities. Would you prefer the 2-2-2-3-2, or do you like this 2-2-1-1-1 format?
No, I don't like the 2-3-2 at all, because game six and seven are you have a distinct advantage if you're home for both. And, you got those three games in the middle right in a row. But if you didn't take advantage of them, and then you got to go back, and both game six and seven are in the other building, I don't like that.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Hur Hotline. Sabres will have their pre-draft press conference coming up on Thursday at 10:30. Paul's reports on WGR are always brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul will be obviously at that presser asking questions to both general manager Kevin Adams and assistant general manager Jerry Fortin. All right, we're going to get a lot of the same GM speak type of responses, but it seems, Paul, more than any other year I can remember, there really is some sort of movement towards the Sabres should trade the 11th overall pick, and maybe their wanting and willingness to be able to do that. Is that how you possibly see this playing out over the next 10 days, with the draft obviously next Friday night, June 28th?
Yeah, Adams more than once has said it's on the table to do that, but it seems to me more teams are willing to trade their picks, and they're all in front of the Sabres. Number 10 is willing to be traded. Number 7 is willing to be traded. Number 5 is willing to be traded. Those are better picks than the Sabres. So it may be very difficult to be able to trade that pick, and I wouldn't trade it just for, well, I have it and I should trade it. Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, it has to be a trade that is going to help the Sabres and get the Sabres what they need. I wouldn't just trade it for the sake of trading it, fans say I should trade this, so I better, they're going to be mad at me type of a thing. And that might not be there, especially with those other teams willing to trade their picks. Now, they might not be able to come to an agreement with the team, or maybe the Sabres would. Maybe the Sabres have a little bit better guys in their system that can add to the 11th pick to get a really, really good player. I call it currency. Maybe the Sabres have better currency in addition to the number 11 pick than maybe some of those other teams do. The Sabres have one of the best, if not the best, group of prospects around. 26 guys who are 25 years of age or younger as of November. They can't sign them all. They can't all be there. You only have 50 contracts. So that may be in the Sabres' favor where they can sweeten a deal better than other teams can.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has a RFA status hanging over him. Sabres have a couple of guys. He's the most notable, I would say, given the season that he had. What are we thinking about, and what are you hearing about what could wind up happening with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, what he wants to do, what the Sabres want to do?
Well, I think he, I'm sure, would like a long-term deal, unless the Sabres are at a money place where he's saying, well, no, if I'm only going to get, let's say, $4 million, I don't want to do that for 8 years. I want to bet on myself. You know, all right, I'll do that for 3 years maybe, and then we'll do this again. And hopefully I will even be a better goalie than I was back then, and then I can sign for bigger money. Now, it's harder for goaltenders to sign for bigger money depending on what city you're in. And by that time, maybe Devon Levi has also become very good, and you don't want an $8 to $10 million goaltender on your team. So that could change things too. But if I'm Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, I'm not sure I want to sign for $4 million for 8 years. So that might be part of the negotiation, but I'm sure he would love to find some common ground that would give him the 8-year contract and give him some clarity in his career and some peace of mind along the way. But I don't think he's just going to take it for, you know, any type of money figure. Now, you know, Samuelsson, he settled for a little over $4 million on his long-term deal. You know, what about Dahlin? What about Thompson? What about Cousins? We'll wait to see how those deals age, so to speak, as they go on down the line.
I'm glad you brought up Samuelsson. A lot of talk about him this offseason. Could be some interest in him around the league. Are the Sabres interested in moving Matias Samuelsson? I'm not saying that anybody's untouchable, obviously. I mean, would they be active in saying, you know what, this is something, maybe we can get something to help our parent club, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Kevin Adams, tell me who you're giving me. You know, I'm definitely having the conversation. And not that, as you just said, not that they're anxious to trade him, but, you know, if it's something that would make sense to, all right, we can really get this player that could help us be a number two center who could win faceoffs, can play on the penalty kill on the power play, and the other team wants Samuelsson to be part of the deal. Well, sure. In that case, yes, he's absolutely not an untouchable. It's not like I don't like the way he plays. I think he's a good defenseman. His year maybe wasn't as good last year as it was in the past, but he has to find a way to keep himself healthy too, and he hasn't been able to do that throughout his career. So am I anxious to trade Samuelsson? No, but am I listening? Absolutely.
I'm anxious to hopefully see him get healthy for once. You're right. I mean, he just has not been playing that way. And, you know, if that's the case, I mean, then, good player, like you said, but if this is a guy that you can't trust to stay healthy, if you can get something on the roster that can help the team, then no doubt. They do have a few other restricted free agents, I should say. Peyton Krebs is another interesting name. And Henry Jokiharju, two guys who are restricted free agents. How do you see their situations playing out?
Well, it's like, what is Jokiharju open to? Because, you know, he could become an unrestricted free agent after a year. So, you know, what kind of deal is he open to? Does he want to stay here long term? Or would he be looking to move on once unrestricted free agency would come to him? So those are the types of conversations that have to be had. If he's saying, I don't know if I want to stay here, you know, I even if he says I might be looking to go to unrestricted free agency, then I think you got to move him. I don't think he'd be looking. I wouldn't be looking to sign him. I'd be looking to move him if that is the way he wants to do it. But you know, that's the type of. I read in the paper yesterday that he has changed agents again. Now you have to start from ground zero with a new agent and find out, you know, what he thinks and where they're going and why did Joakim Harju sign him? What makes this agent different than the other one? And, you know, where does he want to be?
What about Peyton Krebs?
Peyton Krebs is interesting. I've always liked Peyton Krebs. I think he is a terrific passer. He's always been an offensive-type player. But when he got the opportunity last year, once Mittelstadt left, they kind of slid him in that role. It didn't go well. Now, but that doesn't mean it's never going to go well. He's still very young. I always say I gave up on Casey Mittelstadt probably a year before I should have. I was basically, you know what, this just isn't going to work. They should just move on from him or whatever. And then the next year he kind of, and Tage Thompson would also be in that boat. He goes from 8 goals to 38 goals. And also the same, around the same age, I won't say the same age, but around the same age as Krebs. So Krebs is a hard worker. There's no question about that. That I know. So what is he working on during the summer to make himself a better player? Can he do that over the summer and turn into the player that the Sabres were hoping they were getting when they acquired him? Now, this is on the Sabres, too. I mean, you know, he was on a line. It was the second-best defensive line in the NHL when he centered Gergensens and Oposo. They were in the offensive zone a lot, but Gergensens and Oposo aren't gifted goal scorers. They'll score at times. They can usually get themselves to double figures, but it would project to double figures because of injury. Gergensens normally doesn't get there. But, you know, they spent a lot of time in the offensive zone, but it didn't translate into goals. It translates into shots. It translates into puck possession, which is important. But, you know, Krebs was a part of that. And then, you know, he's never really gotten the chance. It's like, all right, we have an injury in our top six. We should try Peyton Krebs here. Well, he'd never gotten that opportunity. So what does Lindy Ruff think? You know, he's been looking at film of the players. He's coached in the league. He's coached against Peyton Krebs. He has a good idea of what kind of player he is. And what does Lindy Ruff think? Does Lindy Ruff feel he can get more out of Peyton Krebs? How does Lindy Ruff want to use Peyton Krebs? I mean, all those things, you know, we really won't know until, and I don't even know if we'll know in training camp because they may try different things. So we may not even know until they get to Prague, you know, how they would like to use Peyton Krebs if he's still here.
What does Lindy Ruff think about Jeff Skinner as well? Is there any chance in your mind that they could buy him out? We're talking 1.4 this year, 4.4 next year, and 6.4 in year three, then another 2.4 the next 3 years after that. Any chance of that happening?
Yeah, I don't think that's bad. I would do it. I haven't heard anything from the Sabres or even behind the scenes to make me think that they would do that, but I always say never, you know? That's not something the Sabres tend to do, but again, never say never. I think that's would be best for the organization. Does Kevin Adams think that? Well, he's not going to tell us that, nor should he. I mean, that's a conversation behind closed doors between his staff and Jeff Skinner and Jeff Skinner's agent. So, but it definitely would be something I would be looking to do, especially, don't forget, too, yeah, that $6 million a year hurts. But that's also 3 years from now. Well, what's the salary cap going to be then? It's going to be more, I would think. It's just going up to $88 million. 3 years from now, wouldn't it be in the 90s? I would think, I'm guessing here, between 90 and 95. So that makes that $6 million maybe not as bad to have to carry, knowing that the salary cap probably will be more once it hits.
Paul, a guy that has made news this week, Pierre LeBrun reporting that Patrick Laine might be looking for or is looking for a new home, and the Blue Jackets are interested in, you know, they're, I guess, parting ways, but mutually there. Is that someone that would fit for the Buffalo Sabres?
My opinion, lazy player, always has been a lazy player, seems to be out for himself quite a bit, doesn't necessarily play the way the coach wants him to play. He plays the way he wants to.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When I watch Patrick Laine play, I see a very gifted goal scorer who likes to float. And I would have no interest in that. Now, if they were to somehow feel that Lindy Ruff could figure out Patrick Laine and make him a better player, that's fine. He is also a guy that's often injured, but he certainly has scored goals in this league. But I'm not sure that's the type of player that makes you a better team and a really good playoff team.
Last one, Paul, for you before I let you go, and thanks for your time today. What is the number one area the Sabres, not the organization, not going through Rochester and everything, need to improve between now and the time they step on the ice for their first game in October? What's the position that they need to improve on? If people are thinking of trading the number 11 pick or trading someone off their roster, where does the focus have to be to add and to improve for this team for Kevin Adams this offseason?
Definitely forward. I mean, they could use another top six guy who maybe is a little bit older. By older, I mean 26. That older, not 36.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they need to be harder to play against. They absolutely have to be harder to play against. Teams do not fear coming into the Sabres arena to play the Sabres. They know it's going to be an easy game. Maybe not necessarily on the scoreboard, but you can take liberties with the Sabres. Every now and then the Sabres will get their dander up and come after you, but most times you'll get away with it. It's just, you have to have a team thinking, you know what? I don't want to play against that line. That line is hard to play against. Boy, when you leave, you know you've been in a hockey game, and, you know, they need to get not just one or two guys like that. They need to get a line of those types of players, and it's been proven in other teams that, you know, once you've got your stars and you've got your really good players and you fill in with those types of players that are difficult to play against, that have specific roles on your team, and I'm not talking about Rempe, you know, who would be hard-pressed to make an East Coast League team. I'm talking about hockey players who are hard to play against, that can contribute in many different ways. Can give you double-figure goals, maybe. Can kill you a penalty. Maybe can win you a couple of face-offs. But you know you've played a hockey game against them. And you know when you come in there, you're not looking forward to getting on the ice because you know it's going to be a very tough game. They have to find more of those players.
All right, Paul, thanks for this. Gerrit Cole back in the Yankees rotation this week and just in time to take on the Orioles. But they've been doing it without Gerrit Cole. He's back tomorrow night, I believe it is.
Yes, that should be good for the. I saw him in the dugout the other day after the start in Rochester, and I know some people in Buffalo were able to get down and see that start. He didn't disappoint. you know, went 4 1/3, struck out 10 and a two hitter. So, you know, I'm sure people that went down really enjoyed what they saw there. So that should be good for the Yankees.
No doubt about it. Paul, have a great rest of your week. Maybe we'll catch up later this week, but I do know you're going to be covering the press conference on Thursday. I'm actually not going to be on the Extra Point Show Thursday, but I'm sure Zach and Josh, they'll be having you on to talk about that, and they'll be carrying that press conference live. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, apologize. I'm getting used to some new equipment here. Obviously, the first time through didn't work real well, but we'll figure it out here.
It's all right. It sounded great for a little while, so you're on the right track, pal. Thanks.
Okay.
You got it. Paul Hamilton right there on the West Her Hotline. Celtics win it in 5 last night. Got a good response to the tweet that I put out, getting connected with our fans here at Sal Sports. Thank you very much to CDJS2112. A lot of times I look at those and I'm like, wait a minute, what does that stand for? I try to figure it out, but probably too much brain energy wasted on that. But either way, good response here. It says, I can't stand when the Yankees win. But in 96, I rooted for them because they had Gooden and Strawberry. Yeah, Gooden and Strawberry both in 96, right? Yeah, I got to go back and think about that. So I'm guessing that CDJS is a Mets fan, which is why you'd say that, right? Because Gooden and Strawberry were, you know, big Mets in the 80s. And then, you know, they go to the Yankees and win a World Series. So the question I posed a little bit earlier, and we have time to take your phone calls on this. Is there a team in a sport that you just can't stand to see win? But when they finally did, or they did, you didn't hate it as much as you thought you would because of the players, the coach, or whatever. That was me with the Celtics last night. Not rooting for them. Still would rather have not seen the Celtics win, trust me. But I didn't hate it that much because I like Jason Tatum. I like Jalen Brown. I like Jrue Holiday. I like Joe Mazzulla. I like Brad Stevens, the GM. It didn't feel gross to me like I thought it would feel gross. Celtics fans, Boston sports fans, yeah, get out of here. Don't want you to win anymore. That's gross to me, them winning another title, okay? I'll be honest, petty, jealous, whatever you want to call it. That is absolutely true, but not the team itself. Give me a call if you'd like here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. Tonight, Game 5, Stanley Cup. We'll dive into that a little bit more, and another new helmet on the way for another NFL team. We'll tell you about that on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
The Mets finally are playing well. They go on a winning streak. They've won 5 in a row. Hottest team in baseball, 8 of 10, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And yet you've got some knuckleheads on social media and elsewhere giving, of all people, credit for this run. Grimace! That fat McDonald's mascot. Oh, the Mets are 5-0 since Grimace threw out the first pitch. That's really what we're talking about? Like, the Mets are actually playing well. They've won 5 in a row, and it's because Grimace threw out the first pitch.
What are we doing? Who is that? That is a fellow Sal, correct? Sal Licata, I think you said. You told me. Where is that? WFAN, maybe. So the Mets apparently have... Here's the backstory to this. Josh was filling me in on the blank. I had no idea until Josh told me this. I didn't know the Mets were even playing that well, which, by the way, good for them, right? The Mets, they've won, what, 5 in a row, 6 in a row
six
now? Let's see what
after
they're...
After last night.
6 in a row. And they're still 3 games under 500. That shows you how bad they were. 6 games in a row. Okay, started on Wednesday, 10-4 win over Miami, 3-2 win against Miami. And then they swept the Padres 2-1, 5-1, 11-6. Ooh, 14-2 last night against Texas. And apparently, it must have been the game against Miami then, right? On June 12th, when Grimace threw out the first pitch. So now, people are saying, hey, ever since Grimace threw out the first pitch, they are undefeated, giving credit to Grimace. Whatever floats you, man. If that's, hey... We could take a look at anything that happened on Wednesday, June 12th. Josh, we could like look at anything in the world that happened on June 12th and say, guess what? Ever since that happened, the Mets have won. And you could make something out of it.
I just want them so badly to like resurrect their season now and just make a crazy push for it. Like, just go all out, you know, just because of this stupid 6-0 thing. Like, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be so funny if somehow they just turn their season around completely and just make it to the playoffs and maybe make a run or something like that. But it everything, like the memes and everything online are just fantastic. Like even the official MLB account has gotten in on it. Their graphic from the Mets beating the Rangers last night, instead of the Mets logo, they have Grimace in the corner, and the numbers for the Mets are purple. And it's just, it's beautiful. And they tweeted, the Mets are now 6-0 in the Grimace era, which is just so funny to see, like, the official MLB account tweet that.
You could take anything that happened and make it. Remember the pit? Remember the whole thing with the pit, right?
Yeah.
Down at the stadium, and people talking about the Bills, and gotta, you know, don't want to go down that road again, everybody, right? Don't go to the pit. And it's a stadium now, pretty much. It's a shell of a stadium now. It's growing out there. But remember that whole thing. Okay, June 12th. That's the day Jerry West passed away. There might be someone out there who thinks, you know what? The ghost of Jerry West has inspired the Mets in some way. Like, you could say that, too. That was the same day that happened, right? Unfortunately, but use a death and a very sadness to use for inspiration and positivity. Could do something like that. Things happen every day. And you could go, but hey, Grimace, let's go. By the way, speaking of Grimace, what's that? So Grimace, let me take a picture, take a look at him. Grimace is, he's that purple guy, right? And if you go to McDonald's, you know what a Grimace and the Grimace shake and all that is. So he's that big purple guy. Speaking of purple, did you see the Baltimore Ravens' new helmets? Do you see this?
Yes,
Ravens have a new helmet.
I do not like it at all. I hate the logo. I like the helmet. The way the helmet looks is nice. The logo is atrocious.
Do you like the color?
Yeah. No, I like everything about it but the logo. That's the only thing I have a problem with.
What do you not like about the logo?
It looks like AI. Like, it looks like someone just First of all, it looks like someone told AI to make the logo, and then in this mock-up that they have posted, it looks like they took a helmet and then crudely photoshopped the logo onto it. Like, there's a light shining on the side of the helmet in this, it's the post from Field Yates is what I'm looking at. And
yep,
there's a light hitting the side of the helmet, but the light isn't hitting the logo as if the logo was on the helmet. So, I don't know if maybe that's just me looking at it weird, but I don't like anything about. I love the gold stripes. I like the gold face mask, but the head-on Raven, it just looks goofy to me. Like, it just.
Yeah, I hear you. Like, the logo looks like it's just too kind of standard and out of place right there, right? Their regular logo would look just fine on this helmet, by the way, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it would look great on this helmet.
Yeah, their regular logo with the bird going from left to right generally, I guess right to left on whichever side. But it's got the B. It's got that big, long, white beak. That would kind of look better on this logo than what you see. What the issue I have, I like the helmet, the color. I think it's kind of sharp. All right. I like that part of it. What I don't like, I agree with you. It's not that I don't like the logo itself, which I don't love. It's that it kind of just blends into the helmet too much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also, it's funny because it's got a graphic next to it with the words of purple rising. And the bird is in the middle of that. That actually looks fine. The bird between the words looks
because of the contrast.
Normal. Right. But it's also, I think, the fact that you're going to be looking at this helmet. Before, it was the bird was running with the player, if that makes sense. Like the Bills logo. It's you're running with the player. And this is you're looking at it, but then the helmet's going one way and the bird's going the other. And I just don't like it. Like every other NFL logo, if it's an animal, it's facing the way that the player would be running.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I'm remembering all of them correctly, I'm trying to picture them all in my head.
Maybe. Now you're going to make me go through and look at these NFL logos. Cause I don't think, maybe every animal, there are some that just stand, right?
Right,
there are
true.
Some that just kind of stand where they are, but no, maybe. All right, I'm gonna look at them right now.
The
Here we
Broncos
go.
Broncos,
every
the right
animal.
Way. The Cardinals go the right way. The Bills, the Falcons,
every animal.
The Dolphins,
even the Dolphins.
Jaguars, Panthers.
Yeah.
Ravens,
right?
The other one.
You're right. There's
the
none
Lions.
That just kind of stand stationary, like the Raiders shield. Right, the Raiders shield just stands stationary. That's not an animal. I get it.
Yeah, that's
but,
and
right.
That's
I know
Steelers,
right. What
too.
I'm saying, I'm using as an example what we're talking about. The Raiders shield just stands still. This logo just stands still. It's not facing one way or the other. It's coming out at you.
Right. And with the Raiders, it works because that's like a shield, yes, and it's like it's more of an insignia than like an
yes
animal.
Okay, I like the way you're thinking here. I like that. I never noticed that. I don't think I ever thought about that, that every NFL team that has a logo of some sort of animal, I don't know, mammal, right? What is going from left to right or right to left. And generally, you know what I just noticed? Generally, in those cases, they all go left to right except one, if I'm correct here. You know which one that is?
I'm looking at them all.
The Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles, if you look at like all the official NFL logos, I have a page opened up. The Eagles logo goes from right to left. The bird, the face of the bird is on the left. Whereas almost all other logos go left to right. Now the Buccaneers flag goes right to left, but that's a flag.
Right, and if you're running with a flag, it's going to go that way. Like the
right.
Flag is going to go backwards. Oh, man. Now the Eagles logo is ruined for me.
Right. We may have to have an investigation. Why is the Eagles logo the only logo in the league that on the official page of NFL logos goes right to left instead of left to right?
Even the Titans flame goes the right way.
Yes. All right. When the Bills have a standing buffalo. Okay.
Oh, I found it. I found the reasoning.
Okay.
At least this is what, well, I don't know if anyone's used Google recently, but there's an AI overview now. And this is what it says as the explanation. The E.
We got to trust the AI overview. I'll tell you that. Yeah.
There's an E in the bird. If you look at like the back of the bird, it makes out like a faint E, and that makes the E go forward. Like, correctly.
That does make sense. It does make sense. They could incorporate the E. Sometimes they go somehow they go the other way, I bet you. But that does make sense.
I never even noticed that there was an E there. I just thought it was like the feathers of the bird. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, there's a lot of hidden things and logos you would never realize.
Right.
We could do a whole show on these things, not just in sports. In everything.
FedEx is the one that gets me. With the arrow.
I know, right?
Every time I look at it,
amazing.
I see it.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll dissect the Eagles logo and whatever else on your mind. Hey, do you have a team that you... You really kind of can't stand that when they win, but you know, when they finally did, you didn't hate it as much as you thought. We got a few more minutes to take your phone calls on that on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio. Okay, Josh, actually, do the Bears now use that bear, not the C, as their main logo?
Because that comes out
at you now. That is a straight-on logo. Don't they use that as their main logo now in a lot of things? Didn't they switch it? Wasn't there a story about that actually becoming their main logo, their primary logo?
I think so, but I think that was like... Wasn't that just last year that they did that? Or was that like this earlier this offseason?
It was. Their primary... Actually, if you go... Wow, this is crazy. If you go to the Chicago Bears website... They actually have a section about brand guidelines, okay? Brand guidelines for the Chicago Bears. And it actually says their primary mark. They have a bear head, a clear space, there's a size, there's a color. You can they mark it up for you. You have the colors there. You have the I don't even know. This is like going to buy paint basically and knowing the code. That's what this is essentially. It's crazy. So yeah. All right, so good. That was a tweet that I got from Jeffrey. Thank you, Jeffrey. The Bears logo is coming straight out. Thank you. You're right. And thank you for all who chimed in to let us know about the Eagles E. That's why you have the E on the Eagles. Hey, the Bills released their training camp schedule. So, it seems like it's just a little more condensed this year. I have to go back and compare the exact number of training camp dates they've had over the last several years. But it's kind of like, it's about the same. Maybe a day or two less. Because they're going to open up on Wednesday, July 24th. And for three straight days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be 9:45 a.m. Off on Saturday, Sunday back at it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 9:45 a.m. They basically go 3 days in a row, 9:45 a.m. That's right here during the Extra Point Show. I'll be at training camp. Josh and Zach will be on. We'll be keeping you updated on what's going on. But it does end on Thursday, August 8th. Okay, Thursday, August 8th is 2 days before the Bills play at home against the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. I wonder, on the heels of Brandon Bean saying last week, that they're not opposed to having joint practices. And I said even this year, he said possibly The following week, they're in Pittsburgh. So with a little tiny condensed training camp, followed by training camp ending before that week in Pittsburgh, I just wonder if that's what we're going to hear at some point. I don't know that, but I do wonder because Brandon Bean opened the door by saying it's possible. Again, I haven't heard anything officially, specifically, not officially even. It's just my brain floating around and wondering, is that something they would do? Mike Tomlin, Sean McDermott, they trust each other. They know each other. That would be kind of the perfect opponent. You don't play them in the regular season this year, but I wonder. In the meantime, Friday, August 2nd, return of the Blue and Red at Highmark Stadium. That is open to the public as well, 5:30 to 7:30 that night. And on top of all this, if you do want training camp tickets, a lottery is what you have to enter. Okay, we have all the information at our website, WGR550.com. And of course, you can go to the Buffalo Bills website at BuffaloBills.com. Click it on the story about training camp. You'll scroll down. There's a ticket lottery this year for training camp tickets. All right. But Wednesday, July 24th, that's when it gets going. We talked about the end of the offseason, the start of the season, the end and start of the new offseason, whatever it is. That's the official start of the season, right? When you report for training camp. All right. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live and then Chopin the Bulldog. I'll be back tomorrow on the Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/AtBat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio. Okay, Josh, actually, do the Bears now use that bear, not the C, as their main logo?
Oh, the...
Because that comes out at you now. That is a straight-on logo. Don't they use that as their main logo now in a lot of things? Didn't they switch it? Wasn't there a story about that actually becoming their main logo, their primary logo?
I think so, but I think that was like... Wasn't that just last year that they did that, or was that like this earlier this offseason?
It was their prime. If you go, wow, this is crazy. If you go to the Chicago Bears website, they actually have a section about brand guidelines. Okay, brand guidelines for the Chicago Bears, and it actually says their primary mark. They have a bear head, a clear space. There's a size. There's a color. They mark it up for you. You have the colors there. You have the I don't even know. This is like going to buy paint basically and knowing the code. That's what this is essentially. It's crazy. So yeah. All right, so good. That was a tweet that I got from Jeffrey. Thank you, Jeffrey. The Bears logo is coming straight out. Thank you. You're right. And thank you for all who chimed in to let us know about the Eagles E. That's why you have the E on the Eagles. Hey, the Bills released their training camp schedule. So, it seems like it's just a little more condensed this year. I have to go back and compare the exact number of training camp dates they've had over the last several years. But it's kind of like, it's about the same. Maybe a day, day or two less, because they're going to open up on Wednesday, July 24th. And for three straight days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's going to be 9:45 a.m. Off on Saturday, Sunday back at it, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 9:45 a.m. They basically go 3 days in a row, 9:45 a.m. That's right here during the Extra Point Show. I'll be at training camp. Josh and Zach will be on. We'll be keeping you updated on what's going on. But it does end on Thursday, August 8th. Okay, Thursday, August 8th is 2 days before the Bills play at home against the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't know this. I'm just speculating. I wonder, on the heels of Brandon Bean saying last week that they're not opposed to having joint practices, and he said possibly, the following week they're in Pittsburgh. So with a little tiny condensed training camp, followed by training camp ending before that week in Pittsburgh, I just wonder if that's what we're going to hear at some point. I don't know that, but I do wonder, because Brandon Bean opened the door by saying it's possible. Again, I haven't heard anything officially, specifically, not officially even. It's just my brain floating around and wondering, is that something they would do? Mike Tomlin, Sean McDermott, they trust each other. They know each other. That would be kind of the perfect opponent. You don't play them in the regular season this year, but I wonder. In the meantime, Friday, August 2nd, return of the Blue and Red at Highmark Stadium. That is open to the public as well, 5:30 to 7:30 that night. And on top of all this, if you do want training camp tickets, a lottery is what you have to enter. Okay, we have all the information at our website, WGR550.com. And of course, you can go to the Buffalo Bills website at BuffaloBills.com. Click it on the story about training camp. You'll scroll down. There's a ticket lottery this year for training camp tickets. All right. But Wednesday, July 24th, that's when it gets going. We talked about the end of the offseason, the start of the season, the end and start of the new offseason, whatever it is. That's the official start of the season, right? When you report for training camp. All right. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live, and then Chopin the Bulldog. I'll be back tomorrow on the Extra Point Show.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.